Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and People's Choice Award-winning podcast. Hello, everybody. Happy Monday. Whoop, whoop. How's everyone doing today? Lively? Awake?
Super great.
You're the type of person that enjoys Mondays.
I love Mondays. It's like the start of a new week. It's like setting up your entire week. It's like a fresh start.
You know, I never used to be that, but I'm coming into that a little bit because I like getting back to the routine. Like, my Mondays are very regimented, very set. I'm here at this time. I do this at this time. I have a whole thing.
Yeah.
And I find comfort in it.
Yeah, you have
so
a whole
Monday morning,
week to conquer.
Yeah, when it kicks in, I feel like I got comfort. Mm-hmm. I'm back in a comfort zone.
That's interesting. I love not having routine. What? I took the Enneagram test. Am I saying it right? Have y'all done that?
No.
Oh.
No,
well,
it's hard to talk about then. I feel like I didn't take it, but somebody told me what I was.
That's not how it works. People can guess. It's pretty standard that I think if people are really into it and know what the personality traits are, they probably could guess yours, but you don't know until you take the test. Oh. But no one can be like, you're a four.
I think I was like a two or three or something.
A two
like
is the helper.
Tori's a seven, she says. What is
Tori's
that?
Tori's a seven, which is the enthusiast.
Oh.
Tanya's the enthusiast, isn't she?
I've never taken it, so I don't know for sure.
What number are you?
I'm a nine. I'm a peacemaker.
Oh, you're a peacemaker.
Which is so accurate, because one of the main things is, like, hates conflict, stays out of anything. I hate it. Avoided it all
Well,
costs.
You couldn't avoid it when you went to dinner with Tanya, could you?
No.
There was conflict.
Conflict there.
Well,
I'm also really upset that I lost that poll by so much.
What was the final score? Do we know?
Oh, actually, I might be able to find it.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
I might have, like, a screenshot of it just to rub in
but
your
face. So here's the thing. Becca posted the poll, and I was like, okay, like, her followers will side with her. I was like, I'm going to post a poll on mine because my followers will side with me, you know? Oh, no, 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 no. It was like 89% Team Becca. I was so offended.
Honestly, that was kind of the more satisfying part because I thought this big of a lead, there's no way she's going to win the poll even if she posted on hers. But I was like, maybe her fans are very loyal to her because they're very Team Tanya and they agree with everything that she feels and says and thinks. And I was like, this could be closer. And then I think it was even more drastic.
It was.
My final was 87% to 13%.
So tell everybody what we're talking about, because if they didn't hear you, Becca, on air with Ryan Seacrest earlier this morning.
Yeah.
On Monday.
Or they didn't watch my Insta story.
Or they
had no idea.
Or they missed
about
the poll. Somebody might not know.
Right.
So Tanya and I haven't had like a time where we've just gone and hung out like one-on-one. And she, you know, when Tanya says, I want to go out and do something cute. I want to go out. I want to go fishing, throw my rod out. I know that that's not just a dinner at, you know, a cafe. That's like we're getting dressed up. We're going to go. She's going to drink what she never really ever drinks. We're both going to drink. And then we're going to like have a good time. So we go to this restaurant down the street from us, and we're going to sit down. It's a really cute restaurant. It's kind of like there's like a mountain
behind
it. It's outside.
Yeah, it's so cute, by the way. The vibe is so cute in there.
Yeah, it's called Firefly in Studio City, in case anyone wants to go. And we go to sit down, and I go to sit on the side where I'm facing the restaurant. And Tanya,
booth side or chair side? Or is that
they
not
were
how
both
it
chairs.
Both chairs, okay.
Would have been booth side.
Got it.
There was a booth.
Mm-hmm.
And Tawny comes and sits next to me, and I literally, like, my first reaction, like, without even thinking about her feelings was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, she had like a visceral reaction to me sitting next to her. I was like, wow.
And she was like, oh, I thought it'd be cute if we sat next to each other. So I promptly get up and move to the other side, and she's like, oh, I just thought this would have been so cute. We're sitting next to each other. We're catching up. We can see the whole restaurant. And I'm like, I don't need to see the whole restaurant. I'm here to hang out with you and converse with you and look at you. I don't need to see, like, everyone else.
Some people have a thing with that. Like, Sissany was saying, she likes facing the restaurant.
Yeah.
I'll switch sides.
What are you, Tony Soprano? Like, who cares who's coming in the door?
Well, that's like, it was like, come on. I wanted to see the vibe. I wanted to see what was coming in, like what fish were swimming into the pool. Like, what are we working with here, you know? And so I really wanted to sit on the side facing the restaurant. But I also wanted Becca to sit on it with me. And that way she's closer. The tables were really far. Like, I felt like, I honestly felt like I had to like yell a little bit to like,
oh my God. Yeah. I would have been just uncomfortable internally with like the fact of what people were thinking of, why are these two sitting next to each other?
And then the best part is the waitress actually told us, because I wanted to get somebody else on my side. So I was like, I wanted to sit on this side.
Actually, she probably felt really good going into the poll, because the hostess who sat us is like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, it's loud. Like,
yeah, and she said even by the end of the night, everybody ends up on the same side.
She probably thought we were dating or something. Like, what friends sit on the same side?
I do.
I'm really surprised this is the first time this has come up, because if I had to guess, I would have assumed you sat on the same side as everybody.
I would like to.
Went out to a meal at Medieval Times and we sat on the same side.
On the same side.
It was very nice.
Yeah. I mean, you don't really have the option there.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, if you're in a movie, you don't have the choice but to sit next to each other.
But I really felt confident going into this. Like, I was like, oh, you know, like the waitress was on my side. And I was like, I just felt offended with the visceral reaction to it. And I really got clobbered.
So many DMs that are like, I'm normally a Tanya, but I am totally Team Becca on this one. And it was really nice because, you know, like I said, your people who are Team Tanya are very loyal to their Team Tanya-ness. Yes. So I felt like, wow, this is a strong reaction from the people.
By the way, we also just need to talk about... So then we finished dinner and we left the restaurant, which I think was a mistake. I feel like we should have sowed our roots there a little bit, because I felt like it would have been popping given like 30 more minutes.
No, not 30. We went early. It was an early Saturday night dinner.
It was like 6:30.
Yeah, that's an early Saturday.
That is early for the world. It's not early for us.
So then we go to this bar and Beck and I literally walk in and walk straight out. I was like, we are not going fishing in there. So then we go to this like last place. And then I was like, okay, the vibe's cute. There's like a DJ. Like, this could be like fun. Let's like sit down and then we like get a drink or whatever. So then I'm like, now what? You know, now what do we do? We don't know what to do. And so I start texting this guy.
Oh my God, I forgot about this.
And I think I'm wasty at this point because I text him, hey, are you in LA? Hey, are you in LA? Hey, are you in LA?
And no. Like, you said, so her phone glitches. So she types out, she goes, what should I say to him? And I would just say, hey, are you in LA? Because he's not here full time. So she types it. She's like, it won't send. It won't send. So I'm like, so she sends it again. And so then all of a sudden she like closes the app and then opens it again. And it sent, hey, are you in LA twice? And then, hey, like, hey, are you in LA? Hey, are you in LA? Hey.
And I panicked. I was like,
like nothing was more Tanya than that accidentally happening.
But I didn't even mean to. That's the sad thing. It's like, I know I'm a little like eager.
That is how you text, though.
Totally,
like, let's be honest.
Totally. But I wasn't even trying to at
that
time.
That was an accident.
And he responded, and it wasn't like bad, but it wasn't great.
It was not great.
It was not great. And I feel like I already shot that horse in the leg, or whatever the saying is.
I don't know what saying you're thinking of. We're not even within a universe of a saying that's existing.
Shot the horse in the foot? That's, is that not a saying?
Shot myself in the foot? That's normally the line.
Okay.
No horse.
No horse. Sorry, PETA.
So you've already...
Sorry, PETA.
You've already gone there.
Yeah.
And your saying is you've already shot the horse in the foot. And
yes.
So you're moving on.
I think she's saying beat a dead horse is what she was trying to say.
Maybe.
But also shot myself in the foot. She merged
Going
them.
Back to him would be beating a dead horse.
Basically, I feel like...
You've already shot your shot.
Yeah, like it's done. Like now, like he's going to come to LA and I'm not going to see him. And that's fine.
But he responded okay. He didn't say like... He didn't, like, ignore you.
No, it was okay, but it wasn't, like,
it
what
was
I wanted.
It was kind of like a scared response.
Yeah, I get that.
Like, hi, I'm here. Like, it was like he did respond, but it was nervous. He was nervous.
So, our night ended shortly after.
Yeah, that really killed it. Yeah. It was, like, time to go home after that one.
Yeah.
But I had a great night. I told Tanya, I was like, we should do this more often. Like,
for sure.
Schedule nights, because... It's good to sit down and chat, you know, opposite sides.
Who gets recognized more often when you guys go out?
Becca.
Yeah.
No, I feel like you have what, like when we're together, I mean, no one recognizes that night, but we got no perks that night. No. But I feel like you get recognized more, maybe like on a regular basis.
No chance. Yeah. At concerts, maybe.
Yeah, you are the number one.
At concerts, I get people come up to
Depends
me,
on the venue.
But in the wild, it's Becca.
Oh, speaking of concerts, I want to talk about Ariana, yeah, all that stuff, but we have to take a break.
Okay, fine.
So Tanya went to Ariana Grande, speaking of concerts, on Friday night. Becca went to the Staples show earlier in the week. They had multiple shows at multiple venues around Los Angeles. Becca, how did you feel about the Ariana concert?
I was slightly underwhelmed. She has one of the, like, I will say this.
Personally offended.
Yeah, I will say this. She has one of the best voices, like, of anyone out there right now, I would say.
Cosign.
Yeah. But there wasn't a lot. I think you have to realize my last concert was Pink, where she's flying through the arena. No matter where you're sitting, you feel like you're close to her. This was, I will say.
Comparing Pink to Ariana Grande.
What?
Is literally not okay.
I'd rather see Pink.
In what way? Wait, in what way?
Ari is our queen.
No.
Also, finish your story because I have something to say.
Okay. I there was a part where, and I was, so I went with a, like for, I went with a company and so they had a box. And so I was already, you know, a good distance away from her, but I just could barely see her. She's so tiny. There was never like a standout where I was like, oh, that's so Ariana. Right.
Like,
you know?
She's like larger pop stars.
I'd have to like really search for her ponytail. Yeah, I like them to be taller.
I like them to be a little tall. I do have to say, though, because you were in the box, I think that, like, a box is more for, like, because you were with, like, a bunch of girls and friends.
No, yeah, we had a great time. Hold on. I got a DM from someone because I posted a story that said, like, I think Ariana's out there, but I'm not sure where she is. And someone said, I felt the same way the whole show, and I wasn't even that far away from the stage. Oh. Yeah. So, I think she's one of the most amazing singers out there, but I think she, as far as like the production of the show, didn't have it for me.
Did you stay for the whole thing? Or did you leave early?
I normally always leave early to avoid traffic. I rarely stay for the whole thing. I stayed for Pink and I stayed
for
Taylor.
I always find that weird personally, and I understand the reason for doing it, but I always feel like if I'm paying for a concert, I want to see the grand finale. Like they save the best for last. I feel like
I didn't pay, so I didn't feel this like
true.
You know. But and like I said, it wasn't. I'm not a diehard Ariana fan like Tanya.
Tanya will have a rebuttal. At what point did you leave? I just want to figure out when did you leave? Do you know what song roughly you walked out during?
We walked out while she was playing.
She's like,
into
break
you.
Up with your girlfriend.
Into You. Okay,
no, that
so
was
you
early
missed
on.
Dangerous Woman, you missed No Tears Left to Cry, you missed Break Free, and you missed Thank You Next.
I know, and
you missed five songs.
Some of the girls wanted to stay for Thank You Next, but I knew it'd be her last
it
one.
It was, yeah.
And so I was like, I can watch Tanya's dance video, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. All
right. But I had a great time as far. I was with my friends. We were dancing in the box. So that was fun because if we hadn't had the room and the space, you know, and just like had that, I probably would have been bored. Dare I
say.
Okay,
Tanya, you're a 60-second rebuttal.
Okay, so I just want to say that Brad and I have been counting down the days till Ariana Grande came to our hometown. We wanted to go on a weeknight that I didn't have work the next day, so we picked the Friday night show. We've been really excited. We got matching NASA outfits. He wore the guy version. I wore the girl version. Like, we were really, like, into this. Like, I made little bobbleheads. Like, it was just going to be, like, a full-on, like, church experience. And it was. We lived our best lives, but we also love, like, these last two albums have been, like, the soundtrack of the last year of our lives. Like, we've really been living through them. And we also did a dance video for, like, 75% of the songs that she performed. That being said, we love Ari so hard, and we give so much, and we get nothing.
You know what?
And you know what? We don't give expecting anything in return. But, like, ever since Taylor Swift...
I was going to say, when Taylor commented, that changed
the
game.
On our one dance video, yeah. We were like, we've done 12 Ariana Grande dance videos. Not once has she liked, commented, nothing, not a peep. And you know what?
And she follows Brad, right?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
it's really, you know, so.
When you compare it to the other people you're obsessed with, say, for example, Charlie Puth.
Correct.
Friends.
Right.
Reaches out to you.
Right.
Haley Steinfeld.
Right.
Friends.
Yeah.
Reaches out to you. You get a lot back from a lot of these people that you're obsessed with.
I think you like the challenge of getting Ariana to notice you.
And no, you know what? And so then I realized, like, after I had this, like, church-going experience, that I'm going to take a step back.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Ariana, if you're there. Listening.
I think she's a scrubber, no question.
This is a plea.
She
to
is,
please acknowledge
she loves-
Tanya and Brad. She loves who?
She loves Grey's Anatomy. She loves Ellen Pompeo.
Grey's Anatomy. I feel like we'd really get along. You know?
Yeah.
So
it's like, yes, the show is amazing. She's incredible and I love her.
Yeah,
but
she is definitely one of the most talented people out there. I just feel like she could easily fly through the arena. She's tiny. Just
she
throw her up.
She doesn't have to. That's the thing.
She could.
Becca would like some acrobatics and I would just like some acknowledgement. You
well,
know?
Not even acrobat. You know how when you go to Taylor's show, you're like, whoa, looking around like, and she goes
point.
To different places in the venue and plays and makes everyone feel like they're close to her.
And the screens. That screen was game changing on Taylor's last tour. Like, you literally felt like if you were in the nosebleeds at a Taylor show,
you see
everything.
This is another thing. So we're far back and normally you can look at the screen and feel like, okay, I'm seeing everything. Small. Very small screens.
Yeah, Taylor does not get enough credit for the amount of detail that she puts into making her fans feel like they...
We already did like a full Taylor Swift podcast and we're in her merch sweaters today.
But I feel like she does not get enough credit for doing that for her fans. Like, she really thinks them out like to a T. And
detail. She talked about the detail when she was on with us.
Yeah, so hats off to you again, Taylor Swift.
All right. We need to get to our guest. But I want Tanya to tell a quick story before we do that. So we have our guest, who, by the way, is the only person we've ever had on our show who's ever killed someone. It's crazy.
It's, in real life.
It's
crazy.
Like, yeah,
real
and
life.
It's like,
that we know of.
That we're fully aware of.
That Gilmore Girls guy. You know, maybe.
Never know.
No, seriously. Tara Newell from Dirty John is going to be on. And it's an incredible story. And if you know the podcast or the TV show, I think you'll be fascinated by this. And even if you don't, it's an amazing story. And then also, we need to call a scrubber. Not Ariana, a different scrubber, who wants us to tell her sister that she's pregnant. That's exciting as well.
That is a lot of pressure.
Before we get to the guest.
Oh, and really fast.
Yes.
I saw the email. There was an email directed to me.
No, I want to address that in a little bit.
Me
we'll
too.
To
right now. We're going to get back to that.
We'll get to that. Okay.
I didn't know if you guys read it. And then you're like, you know, we're going to be nice to Tanya.
No. I want to address it.
Me too.
I have some words.
Before we do that, this is a great story that is so, it sums up Tanya so beautifully. And you're going to ask me if you can say the words, and yes, you can say whatever you want. Tanya told me a story today about the first time she met her future brother-in-law. She was a teenager. If you don't want to tell it, you don't have to tell it.
No, I can tell it.
Okay.
But can I say that word?
Yes.
Okay.
But it was an example. What I said to her this morning was, isn't it interesting that your brother and sister are so normal? And I didn't mean that in an offensive way. They just are normal. They don't have that Tanya enthusiasm for everything in life and the big eyes and the energy that Tanya brings to the world. They're very normal people. Like
myself.
Yeah, exactly. Like all of us.
Becca reminds me a lot of my sister, actually.
Okay. And so Tanya was 15 the first time she met this man that was going to marry her sister. And this is his memory of the first time he met Tanya when he knew she's different.
So, like, he's normal, obviously.
Yeah.
Super normal. He doesn't even have like Instagram, social media. Like, he's
normal.
Yeah, like he's just like not in this world at all. And he had dinner, and like I came into the dinner table, and I was like, "You guys, I can make myself queef."
Oh my god, so embarrassed.
The first time meeting him, and I was in like a Ralph Lauren polo tube top or something.
Was your sister mortified in front of her boyfriend?
Totally, but my sister had been living with me for 15 years at that point, so she was just like...
And your mom was there?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And your dad was there?
Yeah.
Like, you just thought they'd all be so excited to hear this news.
Yeah, like, you guys, I know I can queef on command.
The best part is, as they're about to tell this story, Tony goes, can I say that word?
Because it was, I don't know, it's kind of a dirty word, no?
It's just gross.
It's a, proud, it's a very proud word.
Say it with conviction.
Yeah, yell it.
Yeah.
So,
well,
yeah.
What did he say? Was he, did
everyone
he clap?
Was like,
what'd
they do?
Let's see it. Oh.
I can't believe he didn't head for the hills at that point.
I'm actually surprised he stood the test of time myself. But now
he's
like,
I would be so stunned by that moment.
Yeah, he's like in it, and like, I mean, they've been together forever.
Well, by my math, 17 years, roughly? 16, 17?
Yeah. I think I met him when I was 15, so that makes total sense.
17 years.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
That's a lot to digest.
It's a lot, but it's Tanya in a nutshell, and I thought just, the scrubbers would appreciate that.
Yeah, there you go. Let us know if anyone else has that gift or talent.
No, I lost the talent because I can't. Oh. I don't know how to. I don't know how I.
Oh.
I was going to ask him, anymore? Like, I don't even want to know. And of course, you go ahead and offer it up anyway.
I forgot.
Me
I lost my golden touch. You what?
Golden touch.
Okay. So let's take a break. We'll come back with Tara Newell from Dirty John.
You know what made getting up early this morning really difficult?
What?
Getting out of my sleep number.
Mm.
Maybe you've considered a sleep number bed but thought you couldn't afford one. But can you really afford another restless night's sleep?
No.
We really can't. There's never been a better time to save on proven quality sleep. Now during the Memorial Day sale, a Queen 360 smart bed starts at only $999.
So many couples disagree on mattress firmness, but Sleep Number beds let you choose your ideal firmness on each side. So it's just right for both of you. So like for me, I have mine set for me, and then my pretend boyfriend that I say goodnight to has his own.
What is his?
Yeah,
by
what
the
is
way?
He like?
Yeah,
does
he like it firmer or softer?
He likes it softer, and I like it firmer.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Sleep Number 360 smart beds are so smart, they sense your every move and automatically adjust just to you, keeping you sleeping comfortably throughout the night.
Sleep Number has been ranked highest in customer satisfaction with mattresses by J.D. Power.
I don't believe it. How can I? You have to prove that to me. I'm going to need some evidence.
Well, for 2018 award information, you can visit jdpower.com.
Okay, I'll do that now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for couples, like my mom likes a softer mattress, and then my dad likes a more firm mattress for his back.
The opposite of you and your pretend
me and my
boyfriend.
Pretend boyfriend. Yeah.
So this is a perfect gift
to for get, your parents.
Yeah, for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Come in during the Memorial Day sale and save $1,000 on a new Sleep Number 360 Special Edition smart bed for temperature balancing comfort at an exceptional value.
You'll only find Sleep Number at any of the 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. So find the one nearest you at sleepnumber.com/Becca.
We should give that again just in case they missed it the first time.
That is sleepnumber.com/Becca.
We have someone in the OR today that is very exciting for all of us here. We have Tara Newell. You might know her as the real life, I don't even know, heroine, right?
Yes.
From Dirty John, which is the podcast and the TV show. I mean, welcome to the OR. We are so happy to have you.
Oh, well, thank you guys so much for having me.
We posted on, I think Mark posted on our Facebook group that you were going to be here and said, does anyone have any questions or what do you want to know? And it was a huge response. So
we have a million, but would you make clear that this is a real thing that really happened? And I
forget that
all
the time. Like, I'm like, the fact that you lived this is like beyond me.
Oh, well, it was crazy.
I think I listened to the podcast, which is obviously, it's like you're hearing it and it's the story being told. But then you watch the show and it's so wild that even sitting here talking to you and knowing that you went through it, it's hard to like really wrap my brain around it.
Yeah, well, I'm like 5'2", and what I did was crazy, and you just wouldn't expect myself to come out of that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, I'm assuming, I feel like the podcast and the show were very similar to each other. Like, as far as like the things that were said, like they did a great job. Did you feel like they did a great job as far as?
I really liked how they did it. It was just, everything's different to you because right. It's your life. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, oh, that's different. That's different there. But how it was, how, the sequence of it, like 90% of that stuff happened. So it was just so crazy and so surreal to see that in play in the TV show.
I'll bet. That's got to be weird to see. Like when you heard it was Julia Garner, was that good news for you? You're like, oh, that seems perfect.
I honestly didn't know who she was. And then I went and watched Ozark and
she's
I was
great
like,
on Ozark.
I'm so honored for her to play me. So I was happy after I watched Ozark and I was like, oh, she's amazing.
She's a brilliant actress. She was on The Americans too. Did you spend time with her?
We didn't spend time together. She's a busy actress. So she literally went from filming Ozark and then went to Dirty John. And then I met her maybe a month into filming.
Mm-hmm. So were you not have like, was she just kind of going off the podcast and what was said on there for her? Like she didn't talk to you as far as, you know.
No, she didn't talk to me. She just watched the podcast or listened to the podcast and then watched, I think, Dateline and a few other interviews. And then really tried to put her character into perspective.
Yeah. I think we should get to some of the questions because a lot of them are questions that I have.
Yeah. Well, one of a lot of them asked is about, and no one questions that you did what you had to do and you're a hero for doing it. But a lot of them asked about how, when you kill someone, how do you deal with that afterwards? Is there guilt? Is there, could I have handled that differently? That's such a heavy question that a lot of them asked, but none of us have ever gone through such a thing.
John was such an evil guy that I knew it was either me or him and he was going to kill me no matter what. But I felt bad if there was anyone that cared about him afterwards. And his sisters came a couple days after when I was out of the hospital, and then his daughters found out like months later, and just hearing what they had to say, that they're relieved that he's gone. It was so great to hear that because I don't want to make anyone hurt.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, he was so evil. He was not adding anything to this world, you know, like, which I know it's like a horrible thing to say, but like he was not a good person.
Not at all. Like, that's not a bad thing to say about him.
Yeah.
Jody, how has this experience changed your dating habits? Like, your guard has to be up at all times.
Well, I feel like I analyze guys now, and I'm like, oh, he's a sociopath. He's a narcissist. Oh, I think he might be a psychopath. So I just like, I just really analyze them. And I'm just like, okay, there's red flags there. There's red flags there.
Oh, you must be the best at seeing red flags.
Oh, I think I'm pretty good. Like, sometimes I'm not going to lie, I'll stick around for entertainment with these guys and I'll be like, okay, like, what's going to happen next with them? And then I'll be like, but I won't want to end up with them at all. And I'm like, they're just strictly entertainment for a moment.
The next time you're seeing somebody, Tanya, hey, I'd like my friend Tara to come to dinner with us and then really find out what's going on.
I mean, these shows affected my dating life and I'm just watching them. So I can't even imagine how it's affected you by me living it.
Oh, wow. Well, that makes me happy to hear that because now women are seeing red flags.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's like, matters of the heart are so blinding. I think it's obvious. I think we all have felt that. But then like seeing it actually play out the way that it did, I think it is. I mean, I'm a little bit like too far where I'm like very guarded. But I think a lot of people are the other way where they're like, woohoo, yeah, here's my address. Come pick me up.
Yeah.
It's like, no, girl.
Yeah.
No.
And when like a guy comes, picks you up, you're like, oh, he's a gentleman.
Yeah. And they're like, no, actually, he just wants to see where you live and what the security code is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no. Hard no.
Yeah, I grew up and my parents were like, no, if he wants to take you out on a date, he picks you up. But it's like, that's not how it works anymore with like apps and online dating. Like you should not do that. I like highly recommend meeting somewhere and not letting anyone know where you live for the first time, yes. first few times you hang out.
What is the difference between a psychopath and a sociopath?
So a psychopath, to be honest, I feel like I just look at them and I know after reading so many books, but there's a couple of fine lines. Like a psychopath will hurt someone and not have a conscience, and sociopaths really don't have conscience either, but they're not going to come after and stab someone normally. They still have that capability in them, but a psychopath is just like American Psycho.
A psychopath, there's no real line between right and wrong. Yes. Where a sociopath is aware of that, but he still has no empathy for other humans.
Yes.
So was John considered a
psychopath?
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
What are some signs? Sorry.
No, please.
What are some signs
that's one of the questions,
girls that are dating should look at, like, red flags here and there that are like benign, whatever, but like big ones that women should look out for?
I feel like when they're too like always there, that's a red flag. A normal person is going to have a job. They're going to not have time to hang out 24/7 at your house. And if they're just always, I'm trying to think, just like always being there, like holding your purse and stuff for you is like something John did for my mom. He just,
if they're bending over backwards too much.
Yeah. Like
too available.
Yeah. He did like the coffee or drink smoothie in the morning, you know, cause she's like a busy woman. So it's just things like that. And then I was actually on a date the other day, and it was like the third or fourth date. So I let him come over. Thanks. But red flag here. I have a puppy, and I was telling her no and like putting pressure in her mouth, and she would just squeal once and I would let her go so she would know not to bite. And then he did it, and he held it down, and she was squealing. And I literally had to tell him, like, hey, that's good enough. Like, don't do that. And so a sociopath or psychopath will not know limits with that.
Wow. Because, like, a normal person, like, if I did that, especially with someone else's dog.
Yeah, I would never do that with somebody else's dog.
Well, I wouldn't. Yeah, I know. But if they said, like, hey, this is how you do it, like, here, you try it. And as soon as the dog squealed, I would be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Are you okay?
Yeah, that's like a normal reaction. But if someone puts pressure and the dog's squealing and they're like just enjoying, I feel out of that, having enjoyment out of that, then I'm like, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So let's just say there was not another date after that.
That was the
But 3 to 4, good for you. It's getting pretty far.
Man, it's got to be tough. It's got to be tough for you to trust anybody. Amanda brought this up, and I wanted to ask about this too. On the podcast, they said that it was your love of The Walking Dead that made you know the best way to take this guy out. Is that right? Is that accurate?
It is. I watch The Walking Dead religiously.
Yeah, me too.
So I feel like when you're watching it so much, if you are in a situation like that, you're going to respond how they did on TV.
Yeah.
And so when he attacked me, I was able to get the knife and defend myself. And then I ended up stabbing him in the head and like holding his head as he was falling down on me because I didn't want to get bit.
Wow.
Whoa.
So like, not like he was going to bite me, but it's just, you know, if you're fighting a zombie,
that's what you do. Yes.
You don't want to turn into one.
Well, also, like, he could have retaliated that way. Like,
that's true.
In, like, self-defense. He could have, like, that may have been his only weapon.
This is fascinating, and I'm sorry if I'm going to a dark place here, but you got him, like, in the side of the head?
So I got him once in the forehead and then in the eye, and the eye is the softest point of entry for the head.
On The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Often used, and that's when you kind of saw that this was over.
Yes. And that's when I like pushed him off of me and tossed the knife and then got away from his body.
And then your dog was like, basically, is that accurate? How it, because in yes. the show, like the dog was like attacking him.
Cash was attacking his ankles. Cash actually let me know that he was there before I knew he was there. And then I thought he was a homeless guy. So I was like, oh, just knock it off, Cash. And then he did. And then he was preparing for the attack in the car. So.
Wow. Wait, he saw him in the car. Cash saw him in the car?
Yes.
I have chills. This is like such a...
Marina asked a question on this topic. Would you have done anything differently to prevent that attack from happening in the first place?
Ooh, that's an excellent question.
There's nothing that I could have done differently in the situation. But there are things that my mom could have done differently. Mm-hmm. She contacted John back. And if someone's stalking you and sending threatening messages to you, you don't want to respond, or you want to respond one time and be like, leave me alone, I am scared of you. Don't block him right away. Let like a few messages come through, because he's crazy, so he's gonna say some crazy things. And then when those messages come through, block him and then go straight to the police station and report him. Because if you show that you are engaging in with someone like this, then the police are not going to take you seriously. So
this is excellent advice for our listeners. Yeah.
Thanks. So I would just recommend don't engage with them and go straight to the police.
So engage once to establish.
Yes.
Stop. Leave me alone. Mm-hmm. I'm scared of you. And then let him go nuts for a while just to gather evidence.
Yeah.
Then go to the police.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Wow.
And also, if you'd done anything differently that day to avoid him or avoid the incident, he'd still be alive and tormenting your family. So,
or I'm sure he'd find another, would have found another way.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah. Well, because a psychopath has no, like you said, there's no limits. It's not like the police being involved would have stopped him from trying to harm you or your family.
And he wanted you gone, right? Because you were the voice. You were the strongest leader of the anti-John movement in the family, right?
No, actually, my sister was.
Oh. Now, is this the sister that is not part of the show or the podcast?
She's in the podcast, okay. Jacqueline, and then her character in the show has a different name, Veronica.
Why is that?
At the time, she just really wanted her privacy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy watching your trauma and things that happen in your life play out on the TV, so... It's hard to watch that, and it just takes a toll on you mentally.
Yeah.
So she just was having a very hard time with it and just really wanted privacy at that time.
Like it happened forever ago. I mean, this is semi-recent, right? Yes. What year is this?
It will be 3 years on August 20th.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So it's not like something that, like, obviously you've had some time to process it, but like for something that traumatic, it's not like it's been like, oh, it's been 10 years or something. It's like still very fresh.
Yeah, no, it's still very fresh, and I definitely have a lot more therapy to go through, but like I feel like I made such an improvement just with that time. But with the show, it does like re-trigger stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna ask if it helped you, like, rewatching it and, like, processing it, or if it was more of, like, brought back so many things that you felt like, oh, no, I took a step back.
In the moment, it felt as if I took a step back.
I bet.
But overall, I feel like I am stronger being able to watch that, and now I'm able to watch the attack scene and say, oh, that's Julia. She's playing a character, and... That's not me in that moment.
Yeah.
Do you think, because there was the podcast and there's Dateline and there's the show, do you think, is there more to come? Like, is there going to be another show? Do they want to make a movie? Like, do you know of any plans of, like, extending the story further?
Well, there's a season 2 of Dirty John.
Really?
Yes, but it's a different story.
Oh.
Yes. It's probably going to be another con artist or something along that lines.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah. And then as for my family, we are actually in the works of doing like a reality TV show, design show.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
So is your mom, is she dating again?
She is.
Are y'all like, we get to screen him before you go on a date with him?
Well, I always do the joke. I was like, well, he's probably scared of me. I'm going to let him know that I'll take care of him if anything happens. And so I just like, it's a joke. I won't do that again unless like I have to. But it's just like fun to like throw it at them and like make them a little nervous.
I actually, it was like around Christmas time. I was looking at Christmas lights and I walked by the house that they actually filmed the show Dirty John in.
Oh, in Long Beach?
Yeah. And in Naples, like right by the water. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the house that they filmed Dirty John in. And like literally everybody on the outside was like, well, like taking pictures, and then the people inside the house, I don't know if it's people live there, but they were watching Dirty John.
Oh, that's so
funny. And it's like all glass, you know, it's like all glass, so we could totally see through that they were watching the show. And I was like, this is so weird. It's like Christmas and like, this is the trippiest experience.
Well, I think it was like an Airbnb that they rented. Okay. So who knows?
Who knows who's in there, but yeah. They were all watching it. There was like 12 of them in there.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was,
they were like having the full experience. Yeah, they got the Airbnb, they got just to have watching it, the show, yeah. Listen to the podcast.
Meanwhile, people walking on the street or on the sidewalk are like taking selfies in front of the house. Oh, it was wild.
Yeah. Paloma brings up a good point. I think this is a very relatable question. What's your advice for dealing with a family member who is seeing or married to somebody that you think is a terrible person? Like, what are you doing? How do you get involved with that without affecting your relationship with that family member?
With my mom, at one point, I actually cut all ties with her, and she was helping me out financially at the time. So I was like, that was pretty hard. Mm-hmm. So I just like cut all ties with her. And then that was so hard to do because she is my mom and I don't want to lose my mom. So John hated my other sister. He wouldn't allow my mom to see my other sister, but he would allow her to see me because I was like the nice one, I guess. And I also told my mom to tell him that I would get together with John and talk about our differences. So I was always the one, like, I didn't think John would do this at all, and he never did. But I was just the one supporting the relationship in my mom's eyes. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just tried to manipulate her in some ways.
So why were you the target? And excuse me if I'm not remembering this. If you weren't the anti-John brigade, why were you somebody he wanted to take out?
I think that he thought that I was going to be an easy target. Mm. And I think that I might be my mom's favorite child. I'm like her youngest. So
we all know the family.
Yeah. So I feel like he was going to come after me because it was going to really sting her. Yeah.
Mm.
So.
That makes sense. Gianna Ritaco wanted to say, I just need you to know that you are truly a hero. And I am so taken aback with everything you did to save yourself. You are a true role model for women to follow. Always trust your gut and fight like hell. Isn't that a nice comment from Gianna?
That's so nice. Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, you've really gotten a lot. I mean, yeah, you're a hero. And that's really cool. I mean, it's not cool that you had to go through that, but it's cool that people are like so supportive of you and what you did. And everyone's like, it kind of gave people this girl power moment because you're like this tiny little thing. And he was a big dude.
Yeah, like, he was like 6'2".
Yeah.
Wow.
And you handled it.
Thanks.
At what point when you're seeing someone new, do you mention that you're Tara Newell from the Dirty John world?
Okay, so a lot of people actually like stare at me and then they're like, probably like, where do I know this girl from? And then some people will come up to me and be like, oh, did we go to high school together and stuff? And I'll be in like Texas. So I'll be like, no, we didn't go to high school together. And then they'll be like, huh, where do I know you from? And I'm like, oh, what TV shows do you watch? And then it will just kind of go like that.
Yeah.
I also feel like for some reason, sometimes when people approach people, that's they like want you to say, like they already know how they know you, but they don't want to just come out and say it because they're like, is she comfortable with, you know, being recognized or whatever?
Yeah.
But I'm sure if I saw you, I'd be, because we talked about it during the show a lot while it was on. So I would be, I texted Amanda Stanton.
Oh, you did?
She's like, I saw her in real life and we talked for a little bit or something like that. And I was like, I'm so jealous.
Oh,
I
want her on the podcast. She's so sweet.
I know, she's the best. But I did see that you recently opened up a few weeks ago about a guy like grabbing you at a bar or something.
Okay, so that was just like a guy grabbed me by the waist, like non-aggressive or anything. It was just he grabbed me
a stranger,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and no just thanks. To move me because he needed to shoot his pull ball.
You know, guys do this, and they don't need to do this.
Yes.
When we're walking, guys will walk past in a crowd, and they'll put their hand on your lower back mm-hmm. or on your waist. There's no need. Let's stop touching people. Can we stop touching strangers?
Yes.
Because
exactly.
There's no need for that.
Or like above the waist, maybe, if you need someone to like...
Like on the shoulder. Like,
excuse me. Yeah.
Just say, excuse me. Yeah. You don't need to touch them.
You're right. I know.
Gently tap them, you know, ease into it.
But I bet that's probably triggering for you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It was so triggering because that's how John grabbed me. It wasn't that he grabbed me like, well, he did grab me kind of aggressively, but he grabbed me by the waist. And I did the same motion I did with this guy, like looked right up at him. And I was like, don't ever grab a girl by the waist. And like, I was just happy I didn't hit him in that moment because just going through a trauma, you're in fight or flight mode. And I work through that trigger a little bit, but not enough. Mm-hmm. So it made me have bad dreams about John again and just re-triggered me again. And now I have to switch up my therapy because I was doing talk therapy and doing great with that. But when you're re-triggered, it's important to do therapy like EMDR or exposure therapy or other extensive therapies.
What is the difference? What do they do in those? Like EDMR?
EMDR is where, with me, I had little tappers that like buzzed in my hand and I would go through the trauma. But at first, when you're doing EMDR, you have to establish like a safe place. Mm-hmm. And so my safe place is this place in Montana where I used to go fishing with my dad. And then I brought my dog into that picture. So it's like just the ultimate safe spot for me. And then you go through your trauma. And then when you start to feel like an 8 or 9 or 10, you kind of have to go back to your safe spot. And then you just keep going through your trauma. And each time you hope that it lessens mm-hmm. and you kind of figure out things that you kind of did right in your trauma and realize that it couldn't go any different and that you are here and you are safe. Mm-hmm. And it's just really helpful because it rewires the brain with like doing the buzzers and stuff and everything at the same time.
Is that what they did with Owen on that episode of Grey's Anatomy?
I'm not sure.
Remember when he went in and...
Everything on this podcast goes back to Grey's Anatomy, just so you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I love Grey's Anatomy.
You do? I feel like you talking about the trauma and that you're in, like, currently in therapy and that's something that's part of your life is really brave because, you know, it's real life. And it's how you get through the days after going through what you went through. So I really applaud you for like being open and honest about that. Because I think a lot of people are scared to like not only do that for themselves, but also talk about it so openly. So I think that's really important that you're doing that.
Well, thank you. I just hope it helps other people that don't have the means that I had mm-hmm. to, you know, go and do that themselves, you know?
Yeah.
You mentioned your dad. Is he still around?
Yeah, he's still around.
Close with him?
Well, I love my dad. We get lunch and dinner every now and then.
He must be so proud of you. I mean, I can't even imagine.
Oh, he's very proud. He's just like a very quiet man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If one of my daughters did what you did, oh man.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh gosh, I'd have a hard time with that. Yeah.
Well, I literally like, and I'm not even going to put it out there. I'm not going to say what I think, but if I were in your position there, would not have been the same.
Bye bye, Tanya.
Yeah. I actually want to be stronger because I think in instances like that, I tend to get like just scared.
But would you have known that you'd have been able to do that if not for that situation?
I would have never.
Yeah.
I believe in God. I believe that he was there with me that day and that it was kind of like, that's my path and that's what he put me on this earth to do. And then now I'm on this planet to talk to women and let them know that there are psychopaths and there's evil in this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I almost feel like I need to take some sort of like self-defense class because like truly.
Well, I also think like I feel like you would be able to handle something like that. I don't think think her natural, like, I don't think she ever thought that she'd be able to.
You never know what you can do until you're forced to do it.
Right.
Like the adrenaline and the just fight or flight. Like she knew that if it wasn't him, it was her. So.
Yeah. And I hated him.
Yeah.
And if you hated someone, mm-hmm. like, you could probably kill them a lot easier than if you loved someone at one point, you know?
Yeah, and like you said, it wasn't like he had any redeeming qualities. Like, watching the show and listening to the podcast, I'm like, I was so frustrated with your mom. I'm like, what is she doing? Yeah. Which I know is a general feeling from everyone who watched and listened.
But I get it. Like, I truly do.
Her mom.
Yeah, I really do. Like, I sympathized with her. I say her character. She's a real human.
Yes.
So much because I haven't been there, but I think we've all been there.
Yeah.
You're close with your mom now?
I'm extremely close with her. I would be lying if I said I forgived her fully for everything that happened. But, you know, there's no time limit on forgiveness. And every day I'm working on my relationship with her. So that's good enough for me at this moment.
Wow. I love how honest you are. So real.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for coming on. We so appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thank you so
much.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
And for the good tips.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks.
So as we mentioned, Becca and I went out recently and we imbibed a little bit. And you actually took some cheers.
So I got home. I've noticed like one, if I go out and I drink, whether it's two drinks or an excessive amount,
mm-hmm.
I feel horrible the next day.
Same.
And I can feel it coming on the night before. Like as I'm getting into bed, I'm like, oh no, I can already feel it going south.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the Cheers capsules in my backpack from earlier that day. Mm-hmm. And I took them out and took two of them before I went to bed. I woke up feeling 100%. Like I didn't even drink.
Well, I wish I would have done that because I woke up feeling like H-E double hockey sticks the next day. So I am going to take your suggestion and I'm going to take some of those next time I'm drinking.
It was one of those satisfying moments where I was like, I'm going to take these and see how it works. And it was a game changer.
And now you want to spread the word. So like an antacid for alcohol, Cheers After Alcohol Aid neutralizes alcohol's negative effects so that you can wake up feeling great. No more headaches, nausea, or sluggishness the next day. And it's healthy for your liver too.
Yeah, so to use Cheers, you simply take 2 to 4 capsules after your last alcoholic beverage or before you go to bed. I took 2, but I'm glad to know that you can take up to 4. Yeah, depending on how much you drink.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't wake up feeling at least 50% better the next day, you'll get your money back guaranteed. And let me just tell you, I was more than 50% the next day. Yeah, I am like all about this. They have never found something that works like this for to help with the after effects of drinking alcohol.
I know. I mean, I've heard every remedy under the sun and none of them work. So I'm excited to try these. So to order, visit cheershealth.com and enter promo code Becca at checkout to get 10% off of your first order plus a free gift. That's cheershealth.com, promo code Becca for 10% off and a free gift.
Cheers. It's the best thing to happen to alcohol since alcohol.
And what's the website again? I missed it when you said it the other time.
It's cheershealth.com and use promo code Becca.
All right, let's get Melissa on the line. Where's Melissa? We all read her email here.
Do we have a plan or does she write out a plan for us?
I think
here?
She has a plan. Melissa?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi. Thank you guys so much for doing this.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding? This is the most exciting thing we've done in a long time.
She has a meeting at noon, so we should get to this fairly quickly. I don't want to keep her from her day, but let me read her email here. She writes, I absolutely love you guys. My younger sister, Kaylee, has always loved Becca and Tanya and encouraged me to listen to the podcast. I wasn't planning to have kids, but I just found out I'm pregnant, and my sister is going to be so excited and completely shocked. I was hoping that you could all help me call Kaylee to tell her. She's a Becca, and I'm 1,000% Tanya. Well, let's test that. If you went to a restaurant, would you ever sit on the same side of the table as the one other person you're going out to dinner with?
Oh, my gosh. I try to do that all the time.
There you are.
There you are.
All
right,
Tanya. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Like, way deep into Team Tanya.
Girl of my own heart.
I've been married for 8 years. My younger sister and older brother already have kids, so they'll be so thrilled. Was that weird when your younger sister had kids before you?
Oh, 100%, yes.
So you were like, just throughout your life, you were always kind of like, I don't want to have kids, or you were like, oh, if it happens, it happens, whatever.
I was not really, I didn't really want to have kids. My husband has always wanted to have kids. So I think once we got married, I had to shift my mindset a little bit. But this was not planned. This was a big shock. Yeah, I'm not quite ready, but here we go.
I don't think anyone's ever, I've always heard this, but everyone says you're just never ready for what you take on as a parent. And Mark is the only one in here who can really vouch for that. But
it's you're just doing the best you can every day. It's all, everything's new. What did you want them to pretend to be?
So this is actually true. I'm interviewing to volunteer at a children's home, and my sister knows that. And so I was thinking that you guys could kind of pretend to be somebody calling it the character reference.
So they're from like personnel at what is it?
It's a children's home.
At a children's home.
Yeah.
So you can be the personnel director of the children's home and you're calling.
I feel dumb. Is a children's home, what exactly is that?
So this one is actually for kids who've been abused. It's kind of a halfway home before they decide where they'll go live, if they'll go into foster care.
My dad ran one of these places in Neillsville, Wisconsin. It sounds just like what you're describing. Yeah.
So that's you're interviewing to work there or volunteer?
Just volunteer.
Wow.
Yeah, just volunteer. Yeah.
No, but you're a great person.
You are,
you are going to be such an amazing mom.
I feel bad pretending to be that person.
So how do you want us to transition?
I know. We could be from ZipRecruiter and say that your sister Melissa is applying for a job.
That's the smartest way to hire, huh?
Right?
Yeah.
I just feel bad saying that we're from, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, but if you say ZipRecruiter and she's a fan of the podcast,
yeah,
she's
going to know
that the jig is up.
And you're going to have to change your voice, too. It's always a dead giveaway.
Okay, so why don't you just say, hi there, I'm calling to check up on Melissa's references. You don't have to get into the children's home, okay?
All right. She interviewed for, she is looking into,
her position.
Yeah.
To volunteer.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, volunteer position.
Okay.
We want to check her references.
What are our names?
I'll be Tiffany and you can be...
You're always Tiffany.
Because
you got a T. No, but everyone knows.
Who should I be?
She's a fan.
Taylor.
Oh, Taylor. Great.
Who do you
Taylor
want to be?
Taylor and...
Ari?
Selena.
Taylor and
kidding.
Selena.
I'm just kidding. Taylor and Catherine.
Okay.
Catherine Avery. All right. Easton, dial, if you don't mind. Okay.
I'm so nervous.
Who was I again?
You're going to be
Taylor.
Taylor.
You're calling to check up on Melissa's references.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, I have my coworker here with me.
What's your voice going to be?
Should I be down, like deep?
Yeah, lower.
Lower, okay. Hi, is this Kaylee?
It is.
Hi.
Are you there?
Hi, Kaylee. Oh, I'm sorry. Hi. We were calling. We had a job application from your sister, Melissa, and you were listed as a reference. And we were calling to just get some information about her. What do you think about her as a person? If you think she would be great for our company?
Oh, my gosh. Melissa is incredible. She's incredibly dependable. I know that she is just dedicated to her work. And when she sets her mind to something, she always follows through. She keeps my daughter actually pretty regularly.
Oh,
and she's just really trustworthy.
Oh, that's amazing. Do you think she would be a great mom? Like, do you think she's good with kids? Oh. Do you trust her?
Absolutely. My daughter actually chooses her over me sometimes.
Oh, that is wonderful. That is so wonderful.
Yes. And my daughter's very, very shy and doesn't like many people. And Melissa is like one of maybe two or three people that she just loves.
Oh.
Has Melissa been taking care of your daughter since she was a baby?
Yes. So we live really far apart. Melissa would drive 2.5 hours to come keep her when she was a newborn. She kept her a couple times. And she drives all that way pretty regularly just to keep Avery for a little bit. So.
That is so wonderful. Do you know what she listens to when she's driving?
I don't. I know she really loves podcasts. She listens to a lot of podcasts, but I'm not sure what exactly.
Are there any concerning podcasts? Are they clean? What do they, you know?
Oh, always clean, yes. Mm. She usually listens to educational podcasts.
Oh.
Okay. Do you have any, like, off the top of your head who she listens to, just so we can kind of get a background?
To be honest, I don't know. I just know she's always talking about listening to podcasts, but I don't know exactly which ones. I'm sorry.
That's
She's
okay.
always trying to get me to listen to some motivational ones and things like that. I just never have really followed through and listened to those.
Well, Kaylee.
I know. It's so bad.
Well, my name is actually Tanya, and this is Becca here.
Oh, shoot. I totally listen to you all the time. I was like, can I say that? Like, that's the only podcast you listen to.
Well, we're really not calling her. This is not.
I'm going to kill her.
Well, don't kill her, because we have some really exciting news.
Can we get some sound effects over here, Mark?
You are going to be
an Andy.
Shut up. Oh my gosh, I'm going to cry.
Melissa, is Melissa on the line still?
I'm here. Melissa, did you really not tell me? I really did not. I was waiting for this. Okay, listen. She has said from the beginning, if I ever tell you I'm going to be pregnant, it's going to be through y'all. So here we go.
I'm like actually shocked that you didn't recognize that it was us. Like, you were like really, you were really selling it. Like, really, like she was.
Well, Becca did no voice. Tanya, can we hear some more of that voice you were doing?
So that's really great. Thank you so much.
I was so nervous. Oh my gosh, this is crazy. Melissa, are you serious? Yeah. How far along are you? Oh my gosh, Avery's going to have a cousin.
Oh, this is so great.
This is so funny. You were so nervous for this character reference. Yeah, because you talked it up so much.
I mean, you have a great you're a great reference to have on the.
I feel like Mark is like welling up a little bit.
Yeah, he's a little bit teary-eyed.
Well, can have a cousin is very sweet. Yeah, that does get sweet. But also, I was laughing so hard at Tanya's voice. There's some residual tears from the laughing from earlier.
Wait, Melissa, how far along are you?
Almost 3 months.
Oh my god,
Melissa, Danae, are you serious? 3 months? I told you I was like 6 weeks. I was holding out. for the podcast.
Well, congratulations, you guys. We love you. Thank you so much for listening, and congratulations on being a new mom and an aunt. And
thanks
you
for
know,
letting us be involved. That
yeah,
so
if
fun.
You have a girl, Tanya's a great name. Becca's a great name.
And a boy, you have Beckham.
Beckham. Oh, yeah.
Or
nice.
Tommy.
Tawny.
Tanner.
I like it. Thank you guys so much for doing this. We love y'all.
Oh, okay. We love y'all. Thank you so much. Congratulations again.
Aw, thanks.
Bye, girls.
Bye.
Thank God for Becca on that, because I literally got one word out and I could not control my laughter.
I wish I had filmed you, because the way your lips...
The lips are hilarious. It's kind of an Owen Wilson voice you're doing. Like, okay, you're like, great.
Oh, wow. This girl's probably like, am I talking to a man or a woman?
What did I say? I said one word.
You said one word. You said hello. And then she's like, are you still there? Because Tanya was on the floor.
On the floor.
Can you do the voice again?
Yeah, I was like... Hi, is this Kaylee? Was that the voice?
So sick. Okay. Please look at her.
It's like a duck.
What?
Why do I need to do that with my lips, too? Like,
becoming a different person. Your method.
Yeah, method. I'm really a method actor.
I felt like she was a little upset that she like didn't know her.
There was some genuine annoyance there that she didn't already know.
But isn't that the grace? Like, you're supposed to wait 3 months, right?
That's what they say, but it's your sister. Your sister you tell immediately. Your mom you tell immediately.
Well, I also think normally she probably was like, without even realizing it, upset that she hadn't figured it. You know, like, because a lot of times you know, you're like, are you pregnant?
Yeah.
You know? And she was probably like, why didn't I know this? But also she said she never wanted kids, so she probably didn't even think like it was a
thing.
Yeah. That's so exciting. Tanya, you wanted to address this other email we got from Susan.
I would also like to address it.
Yeah.
Why is every podcast about setting Tanya up?
I need you to read it with like a little bit more like,
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Why is every podcast about setting Tanya up? Trust me when I say her aggressive approach for a husband is scaring them off. She needs to relax. I just listened to the Prattcast once again about Tanya's search for a man. Getting old. New topic, please. Currently listening to a single shaming episode. Ugh. Leaving the room for him. Okay.
Leaving room for him.
Leaving room for him, like in your bed. Okay. If these men listen to your podcast, they will think you're crazy. Sorry. But great entertainment. That's nice. It ended well.
I feel like this is one of the, like, you remember that message I got from that person, that DM that was just, like, so rude?
Yeah.
It could be her.
Really?
I don't know. It felt like that. It's like that she's tone. Like bashing you. And then at the end, it's like, but great entertainment.
Yeah. Like I love listening to it.
Yeah.
But like, you're totally scaring off your future husband.
So is that ever a concern of yours that you're scaring off your future husband?
Guess what, Susan? I say what I say, when I want to say it, how I want to say it. Because I am a modern woman.
Modern woman.
I do what I want. And I don't do this for anybody else's acceptance or appreciation
entertainment.
I am just living my life and this is how I choose to live it. I genuinely seek out doing life with a partner, and it is a big topic of my life in my everyday, and I see no fault of that. If I were like aggressively trying to get my dream job, would you be judging me as hard? Probably not. Just because, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's such a double standard. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to say, and actually, for every one email like this, I get 15 others of girls being like, I'm in the same boat as mm-hmm. you. I've done the same thing. So I say things that are embarrassing for people to admit, and I'll just admit them because I don't care.
Also, I would like to say, because I haven't talked about my dating life, I feel like you've had to kind of step up in the sense, because people want to know about that, and you've had to kind of take that on, and we focus more on yours because I'm not talking about mine. So I think that's also a big part of why it feels heavy, in that it's always about your dating life and we don't talk about it. I think if I was talking about mine, it wouldn't feel so much like
lopsided.
Yeah, but I appreciate you being open and honest and real about what's going on in your life, because I think a lot of people who are single and going through that desire to have a partner and like waiting on the right person or waiting for the right timing really relates to what you're talking about. So Susan, I hope that you're happy in your, if you're in a relationship and you found your person. And if not, I hope that you are more open about seeking that out and finding someone if that's what you desire.
And maybe try saying goodnight to your pretend friend every night. But it's like, it's things like that. Like, yes, that's obviously embarrassing to admit. Do you know what I mean? Like, it obviously sounds crazy to other people. I can't tell you how many people messaged me privately in my DMs, which is fine, saying that they have done the exact same thing. And I'm like, that's the thing. Like, I'm like, I know a lot of people are doing these weird things because I'm not like, do you know what I mean? But they just don't talk about it.
A number of how many people said that they do that as well?
At least 30.
No.
Yes. With everything, all the embarrassing things I say, I get so many DMs. Like, I lit this candle the other day that's like bringing love into my life. A woman, two girls messaged me saying they lit this exact same candle, and after the candle burned all the way down, they found their husbands.
Well, it's are like you burning this... it every day in May?
Oh, heck yeah. And it came to me from the Jonas Brothers, so I feel like it's definitely it's like, holy.
Yeah, it's definitely some things going on there.
It's
yeah.
May 13th. How are we doing in May so far?
So far,
are you in LA? Hey, are you in LA?
Hey.
Hi. Still crickets. Nothing has really sprung to my attention.
And that you are aware of. You never know. You may have met somebody that you didn't give a second thought to, but that will turn out to be the one.
But she did say it would be like a parent. Like it would like, yeah, kind of one of those moments. So,
any upcoming guest in the studio?
Who do we have next week? Jessica Alba. I don't see you two necessarily.
He's also taken, Cash Warren.
Jamie Foxx was supposed to come by. He's going to end up calling.
He's taken too.
He's taken, yeah. Nobody leaps to mind.
All right, maybe it'll be a last minute addition. And it's
Diplo. Diplo's coming in.
Oh, she does say Diplo has great hands. That's all I remember you ever saying about Diplo. He has great hands.
He Such does. A weird manly compliment.
Hands. I like weirdly went and looked at his hands and I
They're
agree.
Good, right?
Yeah. They're nice. All right. That was I feel like this was a great podcast. Lots of action. Tara was just amazing. Like there's so many adjectives to describe what I'm like processing it all. And then we like delivered great news to someone.
Yeah. A lot of action, reaction.
Susan.
Susan's
the email.
Oh, yeah. I like blacked that out. Yeah. I'm actually glad that we read that because I honestly saw it in the thing and I was like, I feel like they're probably not going to do that because they think it's going to hurt my feelings.
No. I wanted to address it because I thought it was rude.
We will take your complaint emails if you have them.
I like.
Bring them on.
Yeah, bring them on.
scrubbingin@iheartmedia.com.
Yeah, we love a good complaint email.
We don't love them.
Not too
we'll
many. Not too many of them. Yeah, we prefer like, the nice ones or like looking for advice or baby news.
But yeah, we like the nice ones.
Yeah. All right. Well, until next time.
That's so sad.
Till our next date night where we sit on opposite sides of the table. Time of death.
Oh. See how she avoids the question.
Sorry, he came back to life for a second. Now we'll...
he's officially gone. Time of death, 12:02.